is that we're to be led by the Holy Ghost. But instead of being led by the Holy Ghost, we're driven by circumstance. And we have to know when it's happening. because it's a different, being driven is a different feeling than being led. Being driven is like you went up on a roller coaster and you're going down at 135 miles an hour. You know, being led, you won't find yourself on a roller coaster in the first place. But we find ourselves being driven by circumstances, and the only reason that I can see, and I think about this often, and the only reason that I see is that we become so focused on the circumstance that it almost becomes an idol. It almost becomes an idol. I talk with people all the time, especially I talk with a lot of people who are going through, walking through, dealing with all sorts of symptoms, and they're doing what I did. They're learning everything there is to know about this invader, about its history, about its track record, and they're impressed. And they act like they're impressed. And then they become fearful, because they think they're going to be one of the statistics, because, you know, the recovery percentage is so low. And I'm saying, why are you focusing on that when you say you believe that the name of Jesus is above any name that's named? If that's what we believe, why aren't we focusing on the name above every name and the reputation of that name? Because I don't know of any disease, and I haven't done an extensive study, but I'm not aware of any disease that always did what it set out to do. I haven't heard of a disease that always took you out, that there's never an instant that someone survived it. So that means they're not as powerful as they say they are. Yet, Jesus has never lost a battle. And he never will. So why are we focusing on that which we know fails when we have something that's unfailing, someone that's unfailing, who's in our corner, who's done everything possible for us to live a healthy, prosperous life? And the only thing that's preventing us from doing it is our attitudes. We get too emotional when things happen. You know, you've heard me say it a number of times, you'll probably hear me say it even more times, is that we think that because we're Christians, because we have the greater one living in us, that nothing will ever happen to us, that we're not going to face any attacks. Yet the scriptures say those who passionately serve God will face persecution. Will. Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulations. You will. So why are we trying to pray away things that Jesus said will happen instead of praying through things that we know they're going to happen? They're going to. The other reason we get emotional is that we get surprised. And I have a stock answer for that. When folks say, I didn't expect this, I say, would you have felt better if you did? You know? And no one has said, yeah, actually, I would have felt better if I knew this was coming. No. It's just something we say. I was surprised by it. Well, since the Holy Ghost's job is to guide us into all truth and show us things to come, and he does his job, why were we surprised? Focus. We're not focusing on what the words that are being said to us consistently by the Holy Ghost. Or we'll dismiss them, like I did. When the doctor wanted to give me some vitamins, see how dumb I was. I didn't question the prescription. I questioned the vitamins. Because growing up, I didn't like taking vitamins. Now he wants to give me vitamins. Had I taken the vitamins, I'd still have a prostate gland. But I didn't take the vitamins, left my prostate in a weakened state, and it gave in to the attack from prostate cancer. The vitamins were designed to build its defense systems. It was putting in my body what I wasn't putting in it via food. But because I had this stupid thought about taking vitamins, I didn't take vitamins. The Holy Ghost was trying to get me ready, to get my body ready to fight off the invader that he knew was coming. And again, I mean, we still took care of the cancer, but, you know, there was a casualty. And there didn't have to be. My focus was on, I don't want to take vitamins, which is dumb. And the focus should have been, I want my body to stay healthy. And if it means I need to take vitamins, then I take vitamins. But I didn't know that at the time. Matthew 13, we read this often, especially in the last 2-3 years. This is in the Passion Translation, beginning at verse 18. It says, now you are ready to listen to the revelation of the parable of the sower and his seeds. The seed that fell on the beaten path represents the heart of the one who hears the message of the kingdom realm but doesn't understand it. The adversary then comes and snatches away what was sown into his heart. The seeds that fell on the beaten path represent the heart of the one who hears the message of the kingdom realm but does not understand it. So when you're not understanding in your heart, the enemy can come away and take out everything that's in your heart because your lack of understanding has given him access to it. See, we think that, you know, we hear a scripture, with the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. And I don't understand it. The enemy's going to come and just take that scripture away. No, he's going to take whatever he can grab in your heart. He's going to take it away. Because if he can get us to believe that we're not healed, then he can get us to believe that maybe we're not saved. And if he can get us to believe we're not saved, maybe he can get us to believe that God doesn't exist. And if you get us to believe that God doesn't exist, he'll have a lot of company in hell. So it's important for us that we understand. I take a lot of time to try and present things in a way so that we can hear it and we understand it to the point where we just immediately can start doing it, start operating in it, because I think that's the way it should be. We need to know how to make these things work. Unhealthy attitudes causes hearts that don't understand. Whenever I talk to someone about Christ, well, not whenever, often when I talk to people about Christ, the first thing they think about are things that they can't do as a Christian. They think about all the things that they enjoy doing that they won't be able to do anymore. And I ask, say, why are you thinking about that? Why are you focusing on what you think you're losing when you're gaining eternal life? When you're gaining a healthy, prosperous, worry-free, stress-free life here on this earth. And you're upset that, well, I can't go clubbing, I can't go to the strip joints, and all this other stuff. And you're willing to reject Jesus because of what you think you're going to have to give up. That's an unhealthy attitude. And it'll cause your heart to be in a position where it will not receive the word spoken, because it doesn't want to. We've already received the word. We shouldn't have unhealthy hearts. We shouldn't have unhealthy thoughts. We shouldn't have unhealthy attitudes, because we already know. But we fall victim to circumstances, and I'm becoming more and more convinced the only reason so many of us fall victim to circumstances is we keep talking about them. We keep talking about them. We don't talk about God, what God said, what God is doing. We talk about what we're going through at this moment. And The media, which I believe is more influenced by the enemy, agrees with us. When I was diagnosed with prostate cancer, Joe Torre had it, Mayor Giuliani had it. It seemed like there were 7 or 8 prominent people that had it. And he was like, see, it's not so bad. Everybody has it. It comes. Even my doctor said, everybody, if you live long enough, you're going to have it. That's what he said to me. Can't do anything about it. I said, maybe you can't. But I am. But we talk about circumstances, and as I share with the people this afternoon, circumstances have this unique characteristic. They don't just stay a circumstance. Because if they just say a circumstance, you will find a way to overcome it. Sooner or later, you'll find a way. But what they do, circumstances turn themselves up a notch, and now they become an extenuating circumstance. See, when it's just a circumstance, you really can't justify changing your focus, because it's only a circumstance. That's like you're going down the street, the speed limit says, 25, and you're doing 30. Please pull, you can't justify it. But you got a call, or some people think that, it's an extenuating circumstance. What happened? I was late for work. That's not a good enough reason to go speeding down the street. Leave 15 minutes earlier. But we think because it's an extenuating circumstance, we can change our focus. No, we can't. No, we can't. The same God that handles circumstances handles extenuating circumstances. But what happens is we like it that we can make the change. And we use it as an excuse. I know God told me to go over here, but, when he told me that, or when I agreed to do it, well, let me use it this way. Everybody in the ministry that's in the ministries of health filled out an application. That application said, do you have reliable transportation? Everybody that's in the ministries of health said, yes. The next question is, do you have an alternate means of transportation? Should your reliable transportation turn out to be unreliable? Everybody said, yes. There's another question on that form. Will you follow the instructions given by the leadership, even if you don't agree with or understand the instructions? Every single person in the ministries of health said, yes. Then they don't show up when they're scheduled. What happened? Well, my car died. You said you had alternate means of transportation. Yeah, but there were extenuating circumstances. This happened with my ultimate. You said you would attend meetings when required. That's what you said. We didn't twist your arm. We said, will you do this? Yes. Okay, we believe you. Now do it. See, it's easy to commit to something when you don't have to go through it. And most people say yes to those things and they expect that it's never going to come up. But when you're told, when you say, I will follow these instructions, and you're told, and you think, what does this have to do with healing? It goes towards our attitudes. And everything's interrelated. When you're told at 9 a.m., close and lock the front door, regardless of how close anybody is on the other side, and walk away. And I was like, whoa. And I have my own thoughts about that, but I immediately pushed them out, and guess what? I said to myself, you said you will follow the instructions given by the leadership even if you don't agree or understand. Well, this falls under the don't agree or understand category, but I said I would follow them. And this lady, very senior citizen, I saw the car when it pulled up. I looked at my watch and I'm like, they're not going to make it. And coming down the hill there, as fast as they can. All compassion in me is saying, this is an extenuating circumstance. You know, no, I wasn't given any options. It wasn't do this unless. And the woman was about an arm's distance from the door when it hit 9 o'clock. If I had tears dripping down my eyes, I locked the door and turned and walked away. I couldn't look. If I looked back, I'd have fell on the floor crying. I just walked away. I walked in the room, and other deacons said, how could you do that? I looked at them and said, those were our instructions. My attitude was, I follow instructions. We talk about it after, but we talk about it after from a point of obedience. So when God says to us, with his stripes, you were healed, there are no exceptions to that. There are no exceptions. And no matter what it looks like, the truth of the matter is, with his stripes, I was healed. Period. See, we can't be obedient in one area and disobedient in another. They're going to overlap. You know, either you're faithful or you're not. That's just the way it is. Either we understand the word or we don't. We can't say, well, I understand this part, but I don't understand that part. No, either you have understanding or you don't. And the minute you say, I don't understand, you're opening up your heart for the enemy to come in and give you something that you will understand. And that's agreement that you don't. He'll agree with you. Yeah, you don't understand. This isn't for you. And that's what I have people saying. Yeah, well, I know healing's for everybody, but in this case, healing's not for me because, you know, this is probably how I have to suffer. I said, what scripture are you basing that on? Well, Jesus, he told Paul he'll show him what he has to suffer. I said, okay, how many times was Paul sick? Well, he had the thorn. Oh, so one time. How long have you been sick? And how many different times? And then I found out that thorn was really talking about people and not an actual thorn. But here's a question I love asking. What is it that makes God's word so powerful? Because you believe it. So, and the reason I like it, because that lets us know and reinforces that it's my belief It's my belief that makes the difference, or lack thereof. If I believe it, it's going to be so. And that, but that doesn't just apply to God's word, because it's a principle. Principles work, whether they work for you or against you. If it's a principle, it's going to work. What you believe is going to happen, period. That's why we have to learn how to keep our focus. 1 Peter 2:24 in the Amplified Bible says, he personally carried our sins in his body on the cross, willingly offering himself on it as on an altar of sacrifice, so that we might die to sin, becoming immune to the penalty and power of sin, and live for righteousness. For by his wounds you who believe have been healed. You who believe have been healed. Not you who believe might experience healing. You who believe have been healed. And that's the way we need to see ourselves. And that's what we need to talk about. That's what we need to walk around singing and thinking. I believe, and because I believe, I'm healed. See, we have no control. We have absolutely no control over the storms that come into our life. But we have absolute control as to how we're going to let it affect us. A storm can come. My son was driving a truck, and he drove into a tornado. He was looking around, he was like, boy, this looks like it's a tornado. And then the next thing he knew, the truck was spinning around on its rear wheels. And he said, all I knew to say was in Jesus, no. Truck went back down on all wheels. And when the windstorm passed, he looked around. There were trucks that looked like darts that went to the side of buildings, you know, and there were buildings that were crushed, and he's just driving along. If he had panicked and released the wrong words, something else might have happened. But he refused to say, he didn't know the exact right words to say, but what he said was enough. He wasn't going to say, oh, I'm in trouble, or this is dang. He didn't say any of that. And it came on him suddenly. It was trying to take him out. So we can't control life issues. We can't control circumstances. We can't control when sickness is going to show up. But we can control our attitude about it. When it happens, we can determine what we're going to do with it when it shows up. We're going to return it to the sender. We're not going to sign the package for the package. We're going to return it. This isn't mine. But we have to believe the Bible is loaded with powerful, powerful promises concerning our healing and every other area of our lives. But they're only powerful if we believe them and put them into practice. Because just believing them is not enough if you don't do them. Which I personally think that's silly. Say, I believe it, and then don't do it. And then get the results of someone that doesn't believe. I think that's stronger than silly. But we have to have the right attitude about things, and nothing and no one can dictate what type of attitude we're ever going to have about anything. We are the only ones who can decide what our attitude is going to be. No one else can. No one else has that power. Rich Wilkins, the motivational speaker, you know, said concerning attitude that it's not a state of mind, it's a reflection of what we value. And I had to think about that one for a moment. And I've read his materials on attitude for about 15 years. And this is the first time I said, a reflection of what you value. So that means if I have a healthy attitude about God's word, then that has to mean I place value on it. But if I don't have a healthy attitude about God's word, what I'm saying is it has no value to me. And I know we don't like to look at things like that, but we need to, because sometimes we need to be jerked back on the right path. You know, I was talking with someone earlier, and you all know I believe the principles in the word apply to life in general. And while we were talking about relationships, it applies to health and healing and our attitude. And they said to me, well, you know, sometimes you accidentally get off track. I said, and he said, and you don't really know it. I said, not so. Not so. I said, when we're on the roadway and you let your mind wander and you start drifting, all of a sudden you hear this rumble, rumble, because you're on gravel. And that's telling you, you're about to run off the road. Okay. On the other side, it may not be gravel, but they've scored the concrete. So you hear that same, I don't like driving through the Palisades Mall. You go through those sections where you're as it's driving along. But if you ignore that, you at some point you're going to run off the road. But it's letting you know you're drifting off the road. You need to make an adjustment here. Well, that's what the Holy Ghost does for us. He'll tell us we need to make an adjustment. Like me, it was, all right, take these vitamins. I'm like, I don't take vitamins. You kidding? I'll take medicine, but I won't take vitamins. Dumb. that's what it was. Dumb. But Rich Wilkins said that attitude is more than saying I can. It's believing you can. And it requires believing before seeing, because seeing is based on circumstances and believing is based on faith. Faith. We talked in Matthew 9:28, in Passion Translation, about these two blind men that followed Jesus right into the house. And he said to them, you'll have what your faith expects. Well, they expected to see. They expected that he was going to cause them to be able to see. And too many times we'll believe that Jesus has the power, but we're not sure if he'll use the power to restore us. I still have not seen a scripture where Jesus said, with my stripes you were healed unless. I haven't found it. With his stripes, we were healed. Done. But I'm not healed. Jesus said, you are. But I'm not. I have the diagnosis. Jesus said, you are healed. And the reason I say you are, because you were. So if you were, you are. Because were is past tense. He didn't say, with my stripes, you were healed, unless your body is symptomatic. Then if it's symptomatic, then forget it, because you're sick with something. No, he was very definite about what he said, and we have to be very definite about what we believe. Jesus said it, that settles it. That settles it for me. Especially when we think about his name being above any name that's named. I also shared with you that the devil, everything the devil does is designed to give us what I call a spiritual heart attack. because it wants to put doubt in our heart so that we, because understanding, a lack of understanding will follow doubt. And so now you have doubt, you don't understand, now the enemy can come and start taking away stuff out of your heart. And you wind up getting worse and worse and not knowing what, and then you keep saying, I don't understand why I'm getting worse and worse. Instead of going to the Holy, turning it around, say, Holy Ghost, the word says I have an unction from the Holy Ghost and I know all things. So show me what I'm looking at here. Show me what I'm experiencing. How do you want to handle this? The early church knew what to say. They never focused on their attackers. They didn't change their prayer. They didn't change their... You heard what they said? Give us more boldness. They threatened to beat us? Give us more boldness. They threatened our lives? Give us more boldness. They never addressed their attackers. I found that amazing when I looked at that. They didn't say, get rid of these get rid of these soldiers. Okay, God, let's get together and we're going to pray these religious leaders out of office. No, their mission wasn't to pray anybody out of office. Their mission was to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And as they did that, it was God's responsibility to make it available, to make them able to do it. And so they just, okay, you heard what they said, God. They don't want us to do what you said. God, I have this diagnosis that doesn't want me to experience the health that you gave me. What do you want to do about it? See, again, I was talking to someone about relationships, and they wanted to know, well, you know, the Bible says it's God first and your wife second. And your family third. And I'm like, where? Where does it say that? I've heard people say that, but where does the Bible say that? The Bible says in Matthew, seek ye first what? And his righteousness. And then he'll tell you what's second, what's third, what's fourth. In every situation, you seek first the kingdom of God. God, this guy just came down here and told me I have a blood clot in my lungs. What do you want to do about that? Every waking moment, say this. Okay, that's fine. I said, but they want to stick me in the stomach. He said, let them do what they want. I don't want you come down here and get stuck in the stomach. But he said, you say this every waking moment. So I said what he told me to say. Why? Because I'm his. He's my Lord. So if he's my Lord, then that means I need to check in with him before I make a choice about anything. Because he's my Lord. But we don't do that because we don't understand that lordship. We think it's okay if we pull out, you know, it is written for my healing and just start reciting healing scriptures. What if that's not what he wants you to do? Seek God first and let him tell you what to do because he's the only one that knows what will abate the situation. No one else knows. He knows. And he'll tell you what to do if you ask him. And if you're going to ask him, you're going to have to always be settled in your heart. That's why Proverbs tells us to keep our heart with all diligence. Because out of it flows the issues of life. Keep your heart. The devil wants to give us spiritual heart attacks, which will lead to an unhealthy attitude. Proverbs 17 says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. The lack of understanding will result in a broken spirit because you don't understand and allow the devil to take away what's in your heart. And if he takes it away, you may lose your consciousness of who you are in Christ. I was reading today about the Syrophoenician woman. Very interesting account. Look, Mark's account, beginning in chapter 7, verse 24, in the Passion Translation. Because after Jesus, he fed the 5,000. I mean, he was just busy. And it says he set out from there to go to the non-Jewish region of Tyre. He wanted to just get away from everybody and just rest. Okay. Said he intended to slip into a house unnoticed, but people found out that he was there. But when a woman whose daughter had a demon spirit heard he was there, she came and threw herself down at his feet. She was not Jewish, but a foreigner, born in the part of Syria known as Phoenicia. Now, listen to this. She begged him repeatedly to cast the demon out of her daughter. She begged him repeatedly. Finally, which means he had to be ignoring all of her other attempts. And then it says, finally, he said to her, okay, first, let my children be fed and satisfied, for it isn't fair to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. She answered, how true that is, Lord. But even puppies under the table are allowed to eat the little children's crumbs. Then Jesus said to her, that's a good reply. Now, because you said this, you may go. The demon has permanently left your daughter. And when she returned home, she found her daughter resting quietly on the couch, completely set free from the demon. The first thing I did was do a search in the Passion Translation for the word permanently to see if Jesus used that word with anyone else. And I didn't find it. This is the only person concerning healing. Jesus said, this demon is permanently gone. And so my thought is, why did he say it? Why did he take such a strong position? Where he said, go your way. This demon is permanently gone from her. Period. And I found out some things about her. I found out that, you know, the children is a metaphor for, you know, the Jews. And, you know, that calling her a dog wasn't, you know, he wasn't really being mean, but it was more of a status. You know, where that's what they considered in rankings. You know, it wasn't an ethnic slur. And a lot of times it had to do with state of mind. Also, but in that time, there was a lot of racial prejudice. But this woman, she knew who she was, but she also knew who Jesus was. And she figured, the only one that can do anything for my daughter is Jesus. I know he may not want to receive me, but I'm going to humble myself. I'm going to do what? And I'm going to go to him anyway. Anyway. And she got ignored. It doesn't say how many times, but some of us, we think God's not listening once and we walk away upset. God's not speaking to me. God's always speaking to you. Maybe you ought to get that other stuff out of your head so you can hear him. You know, I've gotten to the place now where, you know, it's funny sometimes I won't say that, I'll say this, is that when Deacon Phyllis is talking to me, if the television's on, I pick up the remote and I pause it. You know, the first year, it's not, all right, go ahead. You know, no, it's like, I can't hear you. And the even though I'm looking at you, I'm hearing what's coming out of the television. So I just pause it so you have my undivided attention. And then when it's over, that's done with. I haven't missed anything. You know. But we think that if God doesn't answer us right away, he's not listening to us. But what he was saying to her was, maybe you'll get some leftovers. Because at first, let the children eat and be satisfied. Eat, not just eat, eat and be satisfied. And she said, that's true, Lord. He called her a dog, she called him Lord. Why? She knew something. His children referred to him as Lord. She wanted what his children got. So guess what she did? She referred to him as Lord. And she said to him, yep, I'm a dog. But even puppies can eat the crumbs. She was saying, whatever you give me, Lord, is enough. Whatever it is, it's enough to take care of my situation. So I'm entitled, as a dog, I'm entitled to a crumb. And this crumb is enough if you say I can have it. You think about that. It's enough because Jesus said it was. He said, that's a good saying. Because you said that, your daughter is permanently healed. How many times did he say that to people? You permanently healed because she had the right attitude. I'm going in humble, and I'm going to accept whatever he gives me, because he wouldn't give it to me if it wasn't going to be enough. But Jesus could have said, no, just wait, because you need more than crumbs for this one. No, we get caught up on little faith, great faith, and crumbs were enough because she believed it was enough. She believed, I'm entitled, as a dog, I'm entitled to crumbs. So what I'm entitled to is more than enough to meet my need. What are we in? We're not dogs. We're not entitled to crumbs. We're entitled to the whole meal. The whole meal. Why are we walking around like we're starving to death? When with crumbs, this demon was permanently removed. Then my thoughts went to the seventh son of Sceva. I said, this demon probably could have said, Jesus I know and Paul I know, and we've dealt with that little woman over in Phoenicia. But you? Who are you? Because that's the type of faith that the spirit world takes notice of. That's the type of faith. The devil should know who you are. He should. The devil should say, I don't know, that's Mary Lou's domain. You don't want to mess with her. I mean, that's what they should say. No. Mm-mm. No, Charlie tried that. But Jesus said, that's a good reply. crumbs are enough. Well, that's very similar to the centurion. Very similar to him in Matthew 8. The centurion came pleading with him. It's only in verse 5 in the New King James. Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And this one, now, mind you, he wasn't Jewish. This was a Roman soldier. And Jesus said, I'll come and heal him. And the Roman soldier, knowing who he is, he said, I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof. But only speak a word. Speak a word, and my servant will be healed. So he said, just speak a word. You don't have to come. I'm not worthy for you to come. You just speak a word. He said, I understand authority. I understand. Authority means the person in authority speaks and everything has to listen. So he understood that Jesus had authority. So all he had to do was speak. He hadn't been going to Bible classes every Sunday morning and sitting for evening services and taking his daily Bible reading guide and his scripture keys and all. He had to speak a word only, and my servant will be healed. He believed that all Jesus had to do was speak a word. Done. Jesus' life wasn't written out for him like it is for us. But he knew who Jesus was. And he knew Jesus had authority. He said, no, you just speak a word. My servant will be healed. I have no doubt about it. You just speak the word. Jesus was like, I haven't seen this kind of faith anywhere. Anywhere. And he says to him, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. As you have, if he believed, maybe Jesus will heal, maybe his servant would have been healed. But he was definite. Speak the word. Some translators say, speak the word only. And Jesus spoke a word, go your way. As you believe, so let it be done. And his servant was healed that same hour. Healed that same hour. In both of those instances, the Syrophoenician woman and the centurion did one thing in common. They believed the word that Jesus spoke was enough. There was nothing else that he needed to do. Too many times we're like the Old Testament guy. I don't want to wash in the Jordan River. There are better rivers, cleaner rivers. But the servant said, well, if the prophet told you to do something spectacular, you would have done it. Naaman, he had to humble himself and do what he was instructed to do. Just like I had to humble myself, I needed to humble myself and take vitamins. Why would God just, God, you know, I have this condition, what do you want me to go? Go to this doctor. Okay. Then the doctor tells you what to do, I ain't doing that. Why would God send me there and tell me to disregard everything he says? Why would he do that? The least I could have done was say, God, because I didn't question God about the prescription meds, but vitamins. I ain't taking any vitamins. What am I, two? No, but I was acting like I was two. God, what do you want me to do about this? I know what God would have said. Take the vitamins. Take the vitamins. People say, oh, well, you're a believer, yeah. Why did God let you get prostate cancer? God didn't let me get it. This was a result of some choices that I didn't make. And God had to honor my will. He had to honor my choice. I could have chosen to take the vitamins. But we have to learn how to give good replies, because he said to the woman, now that's a good reply. Good reply. Yes, I'll take what I'm entitled to. I'm entitled to a crumb. I'll take a crumb. We're entitled to more than crumbs. We have the blood. We've been washed by the blood of the Lamb. Period. We're like the houses that the Israelites lived in with the blood on the doorposts and the lintels. That's how we are. We need to understand that and start operating like that. Instead, we do things that hide the blood. That's why it's important. That's why I'm believing it's so important that we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, because that's where our protection is. If God told me to come over here, everything that I need is over here. He's not going to tell me to come over here and send all my provisions over there so they'll never get to me. Now, think about what did God do before he created man? He planted the garden, put everything in it. He didn't put man somewhere outside the garden to now, let's see if he finds his way. No, he put him in the garden. And he said, this is yours. I've given it to you. I've given you authority. Now you dress it. You keep it. Well, he put us in these bodies. We have authority. We dress it. We keep it. How do you dress it and keep it? Father, what do we do about this? How do you want me to handle that? Should I let this person in? And Father will tell you, there's a snake coming in. Because the Bible says Adam was not deceived. We need to stop beating up on our ladies saying, well, they were deceived. Yeah, well, a man wasn't. Okay. And if the man does his job, the woman doesn't even have an opportunity to be deceived. Because the man sends the serpent, not the serpent, but the spirit, the evil spirit packing. And the man says to the serpent, don't you let any demonic spirit come into you. And the serpent could have rejected that spirit. But Adam didn't do his job. We have to do our jobs with these gardens that we call bodies. God will let us know when the invader's coming. And he'll tell us what to do about it, and then we have to act on it. And we have to know that what he says is enough. And stop thinking about, you know, whether it's big, little. What did he say? What did he say was yours? What did he say you were entitled to? What he said, guess what? He meant. So if he said you're entitled to a crumb because you're a dog, thank you. This is all I need. This crumb permanently removed this demon. Permanently. This word healed my servant. No, I'm not thinking badly about myself because I don't feel I'm worthy or because you think I'm not worthy. So whatever I'm worthy of, I'll take. That's enough. But we are worthy. The Bible tells us we're the righteousness of God in Christ. We are. We are. We're. How do we get away from that? We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So we're always in the position of righteousness. We've been justified by Christ. So if we believe we're righteous, if we believe we've been justified, why won't we believe with his stripes we were healed? It came out of the same mouth. What the Bible says? Fresh water and salt water don't come out of the same fountain. And forget about extenuating circumstances. All that means is you're looking for a reason to be disobedient. Colossians 1, verse 22 in the Amplified Bible says, "Yet now Christ the Messiah reconciled you to God in the body of his flesh through death in order to present you holy and faultless and irreproachable in the Father's presence. And this he will do provided that you," listen to this, "continue to stay with and in the faith in Christ, well grounded and settled and steadfast, not shifting or moving away from the hope which rests on and is inspired by the glad tidings, the gospel, which you heard, which has been preached as being designed for and offered without restrictions to every person under heaven, and of which gospel I, Paul, became a minister. Even now I rejoice in the midst of my sufferings on your behalf, and in my own person I'm making up whatever is still lacking and remains to be completed on our part of Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church." The Message Bible says, I got to read it from verse 21. "You yourselves are a case study of what he does. At one time, you all had your backs turned to God, thinking rebellious thoughts of him, giving him trouble every chance you got. But now, by giving himself completely at the cross, actually dying for you, Christ brought you over to God's side and put your lives together whole and holy in his presence. You don't walk away from a gift like that. You stay grounded and steady in that bond of trust, constantly tuned into the message, careful not to be distracted or diverted." We have to be careful. We have to be mindful that we are not distracted or diverted away from who we are and what belongs to us as children of God, children of the Most High God, children of the one true God, and knowing that whatever portion he gives us is more than enough to keep us whole and healthy. Amen. Healthy Attitude, Part 5. Whole. He wants us healthy. Think about who would want their prized possession to walk around sick? How's that going to attract anyone? Let me introduce you to my healer. He's your healer? Yes. He's your healer? Yes. And you can't, well, it's going to come after what? No, thank you. No, thank you. And that's no knock on anyone that's walking through any symptoms. But that's not God's best. That's not what he wants for us. And so my instructions to everyone is always the same. Don't come to me. I'm only the pastor. I'm not the one with the purpose and plan for your life. I don't have the right to give you authority. Christ has already given you authority. He knows the plans he has for you. He's the one with the name above every other name. Go to him and find out what you're supposed to do about whatever it is that's ailing you and do it. That's all. Just do it. Don't think about it. Don't be embarrassed. If he says, for 2 weeks I got to walk with the cane, get a cane. Want to dress it up and make it, put sequins and stuff on it? See Pastor Sarah. She'll tell you how to make a bling cane. Okay. But whatever it is that he tells you to do, I've talked to folks. They've had things and they didn't want to walk with the rollator, walk with the walker, use the crutch. Come on. The devil didn't create those things to help you. God did. And he knows things are going to happen to these bodies. Every temple has to be maintained. Now, if man can build a structure that can last over 5,000 years, how much more God who created these bodies? I think he knows how to make them last. But we need to check with him and then do what he says. Amen? Yes.